Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is November 28th, 2014, the day after Thanksgiving, and I'm so thankful you joined us at NoBetterWay.net. My name is Rudy Zablocki, and tonight's show is titled The Widow's Mite. Today's reflection verses are from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, "Truly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had." This is the text. Now, Jesus was resting, and he was in the area of the temple called the Court of Women, watching the people and just what they were giving as they walked into the area there. And the treasury was located there. In this area, and there were seven boxes in which worshipers could deposit their temple tax, and then there were six boxes for freewill offerings, like the one this woman gave. Not only was she poor, as a widow, she had few resources for making money. Her small gift was a sacrifice, but she gave it willingly. This widow gave all she had to live on, in contrast to the way most of us handle our money. When we consider giving a certain percentage of our income a great accomplishment, we resemble those who gave out of their abundance. Here, Jesus was admiring generous and sacrificial giving. As believers, we should consider increasing our giving, whether of money, time, or talents, to a point beyond convenience or safety. In our lives, we should look at our giving, our sacrifices, not only our money donations, but also how we give our time, how we sacrifice to serve and advance the Lord's kingdom. It's truly a testimony of our faith when we give to a point where we take that step to trust God as we give. We generously share with others what the good Lord has blessed us with. I always remember my good buddy Steve Quayle. He has his own website, stevequayle.com, and he always says, if you are blessed with much, God's asking you to share those blessings with others, those others that are in need and you know, in tough times, have a heart to share those blessings. And as we read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the good Lord is telling the people, he says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." So our good and gracious Lord, he wants us to be a cheerful, generous giver of our money, of our time, and our talents. And he will return to blessings to us, blessings beyond our imagination. Not always in financial means, but blessings in other ways sent to you. He loves us. My buddy Russ Dizdar, he always, when he gives a sermon, he'll always say, "God loves you, nobody loves you more." And he delights to bless us. If we look in the Bible, one of my favorite characters was Abraham. And Abraham was asked by the Lord to sacrifice not his things, not his material possessions, but his most precious possession, his son Isaac. Abraham faithfully obeyed God. And even if he gave his son Isaac to be sacrificed, I can imagine he had to be torn apart, tears streaming down his eyes. Even though he had to give his son Isaac to sacrifice, to be obedient to the Lord, I really think that Abraham believed God's promise of a great nation through Isaac. He had promised a great nation. And so Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. So Abraham showed great faith. He was willing to give his only son, Isaac. Of course, the rest of the story in Genesis, you read the Lord stopped Abraham when he was about to sacrifice his son. Rather than his son, he said, go sacrifice a ram that was stuck in a thicket. So God is always faithful, and Abraham showed great faith, and the story is now, for all these centuries, that there is a great nation, the nation of Israel. And so, amen to that. And getting back to the widow, and how about her sacrifice? She obviously loved God. She gave all that she had. It took great faith, trusting God to give all she had, and trusting that the Lord would provide for her. How about us? Do we give generously, sacrificing till it hurts in our lives? In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus says, you shall love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It sounds like our Lord wants all of us, and he blesses us so we can bless others. What about your Savior Jesus? How about the great sacrifice that he made? His brutal death on the cross. His sacrifice showed his love for the world. His Father's will was his number one priority. He gave his all. It cost his life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So what is Jesus telling us when he told the story of the widow's mite? And also, what is he telling us about our lives? Jesus, being the Son of God, he knew that widow's heart, and he also knows our heart. I like to think of three principles that would be good to have in our lives as Christians. First, I think we should be eager to serve. And second, be willing to give, to have a generous heart. And third, make the Lord number one in your lives. So we need to see if we're making the Lord number one. And at times, we're going to be tested. I believe that the Lord will test us. And there'll be times when if we do give, we'll have to give in such a way, a sacrificial way, that it'll be painful sometimes. And let me say again that giving to God isn't just our financial gifts. It's also our time and our talents. And there might be a time when we need to stop what we're doing or set aside what we're doing and attend to a need. The Holy Spirit is tapping on our hearts, and there's something the Lord wants us to take care of. So sometimes that giving, that complete making the Lord number one, he's our priority. Sometimes it's sacrificial. It's not always convenient, and you're actually going to be asked to make sacrifices, reach out to help, and this way you'll be doing the Lord's work. And again, I want to say the Lord knows your heart, but in the end, when we do work for the Lord, we can say it's us who is blessed, Haven't you felt sometimes, maybe when you first were getting into something where you helped a fellow Christian or a neighbor, or you dug a little deeper in your pockets, that afterwards, it was you that felt blessed. Amen. And our giving ways, just like the widow, can be simple, but all from the heart. When we're living for the Lord and we're making Him number one, we'll be seeking to do His will. Amen. So I'm not saying that we give up all our finances, but I am saying that that we need to be generous and generous to the Lord's kingdom. And I am saying that there are times we have to give up things that we are doing that we like to do, or sometimes give up things that we could do, and to sacrifice, showing that that Jesus Christ is number one in our lives. And again, how Jesus said that we're supposed to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And Jesus is saying that He wants all of us. And sometimes, again, I'll say again that it might be painful. But look at our Savior. Look at His sacrifice. He gave so much, even unto death on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. So my prayer for everyone today is that they become a little like the widow every day, with that Holy Spirit touching your hearts as we read God's word, as we grow in faith, as we're filled with his word and his spirit, that we're able to step up with generosity in our giving and in our time and our talents. And I would pray that every day, as we walk with the Lord, we can be eager to serve. Well, at least most of the time, eager. I'm not always that enthusiastic about doing things, but the Lord understands that. And also, feeling blessed when we do those things for the Lord. And I just pray that today is the start of realizing that God wants all of us, and He wants your heart. He wants a generous heart, a sacrificial heart, but it starts one day at a time. So in Jesus' name, I pray. And so let's take a little break right now, and after this song, we'll take some phone calls. and just want to say I did enjoy that song, Give Thanks. I was listening to some of the words. Let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done. And just fitting words for tonight. And just want to give the number right now. Just looking for anybody to call in. You've got a story, anything you want to share with us, blessings in your life. I'll give that number right now. 347-989-0095. And we're all friends out here, so please call in. I have a couple of Psalms I want to read out while we're waiting for a phone call. It's Psalm 100. It's a great praise and Thanksgiving psalm. So let me read that psalm to you right now. So fitting for Thanksgiving time. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. I probably haven't shared it with many, many people. This is probably going back around 30 plus years. This is before I gave my heart to the Lord. I think it was a Thursday night, and I bowled in a men's league, and I got home late for work, and I was in a hurry, and I was getting ready to leave the house, and a African American young man, a young boy, was crippled. He had a disability where he had a hard time walking, and he also had a crutch. And he was ringing my doorbell, and I was in a hurry, and I just opened the door, and then I just kind of blew him off. I said, no, I'm not interested, because he was selling candy for some type of organization that he was part of. And so then, for some reason, I felt really bad. And then a couple minutes later, I saw him across the street. So I yelled, and he came back, and I did actually buy a couple of boxes of candy from him. And a couple minutes later, I was leaving to go bowling, and I looked, and there was no one in the neighborhood. I mean, where could he have gone? And to this day, I don't know. I think the Lord was testing me. What kind of heart I had, or he was just planting something in my heart, because I to this day don't know if that was an angel sent my way or not. But I don't know, that story always sticks in my mind, because I think that was the beginning of God working in my heart to bring me to him. And so I just thought I'd tell you that, because it was a test of giving, or where was my heart. And so I always think, was that a guardian angel or wasn't it? I just thought it was kind of a cool story to tell. Well, I'm looking for callers. My brother Casey, I know right now you've been going through some tough times. I'll invite you to call in. We can pray together. Whatever's on your mind, read God's word together. I'll give that number again, 347-989-0095. And I also have a sister in Christ named Casey. She's down in Texas, Casey, if you're listening, I invite you to call in. I've been watching you on Facebook, and you're really on fire for the Lord lately, and I'd love to hear from you. Hey, Rick, I want to thank you for getting the computer fixed. Had some technical issues earlier, and thanks for getting it all back together, working good. Appreciate it.
Very welcome, Dad. Anything to help you out?
Yeah, I appreciate that because I'm not too computer savvy. Slowly, I'm learning, but you've got the touch. I thank you so much.
We're all blessed with certain skills, and
Yeah.
technical skills is one of mine.
Yeah.
Praise Jesus.
Yeah. Speaking of Jesus, he was the things that he was amazed about, probably other people in his day probably weren't, or they didn't understand. He always was amazed at someone's faith, their great faith, and I think that's what really amazed him about the widow. Here was a woman, she had nothing, right? She had two mites, two little coins in her pocket, and that would have been money to sustain her. Rather, she took it and gave it to God, and that really amazed Jesus. He just loves to see people and with great faith. Then he say to Thomas, "Blessed are those that who do not see, and yet believe." Right? So Jesus was always about, and look at his apostles, as you know, he walked with them for 3 years on earth. I mean, he had to be patient with them as he was the Word of God, and they were living with him in their ministry, and slowly they were drawing closer to God. And what did Peter say? He says, when everyone was running away from Jesus, that was in John 6, everyone was fleeing because they didn't like what Jesus was saying. They were hard teachings. And Jesus said, "Are you all going to leave me too?" To his apostles. And Peter said, "Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life." So it's all about faith, knowing God's word and moving you and letting the Spirit fill you, fill your heart, and giving you faith to continue. I do have a call, okay? Hello, welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Thanks for calling.
Hello there. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine, my son David. Thank you for calling. I hope you had a blessed Thanksgiving.
We did, we did. How about yourself?
Yeah, very nice, very nice. By my son Scott, and with my daughter-in-law Laura, and with Rick, and we had a nice, nice meal and time together. It was very nice. How's the before we start here, I'm going to ask because I want to be aggravated because it's probably about 25, 30 degrees here. How's the weather down in Fort Worth, Texas?
Let me take a look here real quick. The current temperature is 63 degrees.
Oh, my.
It's a little bit chilly.
Yeah. Well,
Johnny Ice Dome over there.
Yeah, it's cold. It's winter time. Winter came a couple weeks early this year, but it's okay. So anyway, I was talking about the story of the widow's mite, how she gave everything to the Lord. Money that she probably couldn't, she couldn't afford to give, yet she gave it to the Lord, and she gave in great, great faith. And
that's cool. Yeah, I'm actually studying up on Deuteronomy 6, 6 right now, teaching on that, loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and just the idea of giving God everything. That's what he wants from us, everything, and to trust him with our lives. And I always think about we love God because he first loves us. I think once we are able to realize how much God loves us, if we're able to recognize that picture, it becomes so much easier to love him back and to trust him, you know. So we just have to embrace the fact of how much he loves us, and that's going to give us the trust to really give him everything.
Yeah. And you mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think verse 5, where it says to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then even Jesus, he repeats that in Matthew 22. He says
22.
The same thing. I think, 22 verse 37. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the greatest commandment.
Yeah. And so that part of it is like you said, God wants all of us. He doesn't want 10% of us. He doesn't want a tithe of us. He wants us all.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people look at the Bible as a book of rules, you know, just like I got to follow these rules to appease God so I don't get struck by lightning or whatever, so I can earn something. But it's never really, the Bible's never really been about just following all these rules. It's been about love and, you know, you think about all the commandments. The Bible says that all the law and the prophets are fulfilled through love. Jesus says that. Paul says that. And the idea is that all God's commandments point us to love God and to love people. So that's really what the Bible is all about, sharing God's heart and teaching us how to love him and love other people. So it's kind of crazy to think about it, because when you love God, you keep his commandments. So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But it's actually while you're keeping the commandments that you're loving God and people, because that's what the commandments lead us to do. So it's, they both kind of intertwine together. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's almost like a love circle, huh?
I
think of Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, where it says, carry each other's burdens, and when you do this, you fulfill the law of Christ. So it's like, put so simply, that if we're loving, you know, and caring, you know, for our neighbor and you know, when they're in need, and then hopefully when we're in need, you know, others will come to us. And then that makes the law of Christ complete. It sounds simple, but to me, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah. And that's really what the widow's doing. Saying, you know, I don't have much, but what I have is yours, God, because everything I have is from you. And she trusted that God loved her and wasn't going to let her starve to death. Because if you only got $5 to your name and you got a family that's hungry, and you throw that $5 in the offering plate, that's a lot bigger statement of your faith than someone with $1 million offering in $5.
Yeah.
Obviously, God, all money is really God's money when you think about it. So it's not like God can do whatever he needs to do without our money, but he calls us to give so that we can help others. Think about all the people that are hungry in the world or have issues that can be helped by the church giving tithes and all that kind of stuff. And if we are more faithful and trusting in God and doing that out of a heart for love for God, then there probably wouldn't be a need for people starving to death.
No, and there'd be a need for less government, which would be a good thing. You know, more of the church stepping forward, and that way we wouldn't depend on the government with all its bureaucracy, and you know, it's not very efficient. Where we, as you know, the church, we can step up and take care of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so more, a higher percentage of the money can get to the people and all that. So. But yeah, so the widow is a good example. of in a hard, probably a hard situation in her the life or whatever, and saying, "Hey God, I'm yours, and you do with this what you want." And Jesus really saw that faith, that trust in God. And that's what God really wants. He wants our hearts. He wants a relationship with us. And that was just a sign. I trust you. I know that you'll do what's best for me, no matter how much money I got in my pocket. Yeah. So it's a really cool story.
Wouldn't you think that, okay, here's the widow. She gives her last two pennies, right? And Jesus was watching. He saw and he was, if you want to impress Jesus, just step out in, in great faith, and then you'll impress Jesus. But I'm 100% sure, Dave, that when she walked away from that giving box and walked wherever she was going, to home or whatever, that God took care of her. God blessed her. I'm absolutely certain. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd imagine she went home and there was like a cooked turkey on her table or something awesome like that.
Well, she'd probably be
Johnny feast on her. She doesn't know where it came from, but there's like a cooked turkey with a big ice cream dessert or whatever foods they ate. But something delicious, whatever was delicious back then, that's probably what she had coming for her. And that's not why she did it. She just figured God would take care of her. God wasn't going to let her starve to death. God wasn't going to let her die of freezing to death and all that stuff. She knew that God cares for her. God cares for his people. God was going to take care of her. That's the cool thing about Jesus, and kind of the, I was just listening to a pastor. He was talking, and he was sharing from a passage where like a Pharisee religious leader had the thought in his head, like, what's Jesus doing associating with her? And Jesus responded to the Pharisee, and he didn't even talk out loud. So he was just reading the guy's mind and responding to him. How scary is that?
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're thinking of some bad thought, and Jesus is saying, what was that? Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Jesus knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything at every second. So he knows when we do something out of a selfish ambition or trying to look good in front of other people. And he knows when we do stuff out of love and faith. And so that's why I think the situations where Jesus is like, wow, look at the faith there. Look at the trust in God there. Like God's zooming in right at our heart. And he saw it. It was pure towards God in that moment,
Well, isn't that part of that one verse where it says the proud will be humbled and the humble will be exalted? It's like God has a way of, there'll come a time where, he'll give this poor widow her honor, and he'll also take care of the proudful, and they'll be humbled.
I'll go ahead and take my, I'd rather save up any responses or high fives and all that stuff. I'd rather have it in heaven than on earth. So for all the people that want to be prideful and everyone think they're awesome, it's better to just love people and care about people quietly.
Yeah. Well, it says also, right, that if you announce the fact that you gave $100 to the food shelter, that you've already got your reward. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
You let the world know. But like you're saying, just do things in private, in secret, and your reward, having a little word problem here, will be, like you said, in heaven. That when we have that big celebration with the Lord.
Yeah, I think God gives people, God lets people have what they want. If they reject him and want people to think they're awesome and is worried more about worried about what people think than about what God thinks, then that's what they want. They could have it, but they're going to be missing out, by underestimating how awesome it'll be to be with God forever. and to celebrate with him all the victories in Christ, all the times that people sacrificed themselves and just gave everything that they have to serving God. And all those people will be the heroes in heaven. The last will be first, and the first will be last. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go on, finish up. You had something to say. Go ahead.
I was going to say, think about like the people that are real heroes for the faith most of the time are just pretty much unknown. There's thousands of people that get martyred for Christ every day. I don't know their names, but we'll get to meet them in heaven, and they'll be heroes.
Yeah, well, we'll have eternity to get to meet all of them, right? There's no time restrictions
on.
Yeah. And I was going to mention, because I had talked about it a little bit before, and about there's a part of giving that'll require sacrifice and sometimes even pain. Sometimes if we have to, if it's not only our finances, but also our time and our talents, and sometimes we'll have to do it, and it'll cause difficulty and pain in our life. But as you act in faith, you say, you know what, I need to do this, even though it's going to cause me, pain to do it. But I want to serve the Lord, and so I just thought I'd throw that out there, that part of being a follower of Christ and having a generous heart is there will be times where we'll suffer for it.
Yeah, I think Ravi Zacharias said, everything you have, every blessing you have is something to be shared with the world, and everything that you don't have is a blessing because you get to trust God with it. So anything you don't have, you could trust God, and he'll supply it for you if you need it. And everything you do have is a blessing to share with other people. So if you're racking in the money, you can be generous with sharing that with people. If you're poor with the money, God still calls us to share the tithes with him and trust him with that. But it won't be as much. But so for some people, God asks for different ways to serve. Some he calls into ministry, and sometimes people are like doctors and they get called into ministry. So they go from making $1 million a year to making 10 grand or something like that. But
yeah.
Other times, God might call someone to minister as a missionary. He might call people to serve in a number of different ways, maybe in some dangerous communities or countries. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be willing to go where he says.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever met my friend George Acosta. His father was a doctor, and they had lived in Miami for a while. So he did so much, healthcare pro bono. There were so many people down there that were so poor they couldn't afford, healthcare, and he would do it, for nothing. And my friend George said, and here was a doctor, who had been a doctor for 50 years of his life. And my friend George said that when he died, he had no money. He was broke. And I think that was because he gave everything, where there was need. And I say, praise God, what a saint for the Lord.
Yeah, he's broke financially, but rich in the Lord. He probably had a lot of blessings of a lot of good friends who really appreciated what he had done for them, hopefully. So. Hello?
Yep. What? We had a little moment of silence to think.
So the widow's mite, huh?
Yeah.
I guess.
And
yes, whatever we have, God asks us to give. Some people, we don't have much. You just give of what you have. That's all we can do.
Yeah, well, in that verse, David, I'll read it again. This is from Luke chapter 21, starting with verse 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Amen.
Yeah.
So,
more of a sacrifice, you know?
Yeah.
Still good for the rich to give, but you know, I think sometimes God calls us to give until it hurts. You know. Challenges us to give until it hurts, you know. Should give at least a 10% tithe, and then a lot of times if you have extra, give on top of that. So, but fortunately, a lot of people don't give much of anything at all. And then the kind of church has got to kind of stumble through financially, which is a shame.
Well,
but,
this is, I don't know about you, but it's talking to my heart. You know, it's making me, think about giving and, you know, I think we all can always give more. That I think, you know, there's always somewhere to give. So.
But. Yeah, I heard a pastor say, some people ask me, how much should I give? And he says, I think we're thinking about it wrong. He says, how much do we dare keep for ourselves? So.
Yeah.
Just the idea of not always just money, but just really money plus giving of our time. Everything we've been given should be sacrificed for others as much as we can, you know?
I mean, there's probably a lot of rich people that give a lot of money, but that's all they do. I mean, do they spend time, you know, serving in some way, or is it just trying to buy off God, you know, buy off the Lord, you know, say, okay, I'm going to give, $100,000 to the church so they can build their addition, you know, or I'm going to give, you know, $10,000 to the the food pantry or whatever, but yet there's no time being spent serving. So I think people have to really examine, you know, and see if, you know, am I doing everything that I could? And always out of love. I mean, God doesn't want to, he loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want someone that's going to be stomping and crabbing and, you know, moaning about giving their, you know, money or time. You know, he wants someone that has a cheerful heart.
Yeah, it's like if you're going to be a mope about it, just keep your money for yourself, because that's, you missed the point. It's like all the commands point to love. Everything is to point us to loving God and loving others. So to give is to love God, to obey Him, but it also loves people because it helps people out. So if you give to a church, that money is going to be used to tell people about Jesus and whatever else, whatever other ministries they got to help people, kind of a deal. So, yeah, it definitely doesn't want to doing anything begrudgingly, because it misses the point of every command is meant to love God and love people. That's the fulfillment of it, is love. So if you're just going through some motions, you miss the whole point of the Bible, because
yeah.
God loves you and wants a relationship with you.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, I don't know, just say your father or your wife or maybe your son, and you're asking them for help. And they finally, after you're, you know, asking and asking and asking, they're real crabby about it, and it's okay already, you know, and they do give you help, whatever that help may be. At that point, you know, you almost feel like saying, you know what, just forget it, I'll do it myself. I'm sure God, you know what, there's people that God, you know, He taps on their hearts to do things, and then, you know what, if we don't answer the Lord and, you know, and respond, and like you said, in a loving way, he'll move on to others. There's others that, you know, will serve him. You know, so.
Yeah. He's one of no more pounds doing it out of. Some people try to earn their way into heaven by doing stuff, but everything we do should be done as an act of love towards God. And through loving God, you love other people. That's why Jesus kind of added that, tacked on the greatest command is to love God, and one like it is to love your neighbor as yourself. Because as you love God by obeying him, you're going to be loving other people too. Because to obey God means don't steal, don't covet your neighbor's stuff, don't lie about people, don't hurt people, basically.
Well, in 1 John 4, I think it's 19, it says, if you say you love God but hate your neighbor, you're a liar. So Jesus says, don't tell me you love me if you hate your neighbor. If you got problems and you're, you know, for some reason you hate your neighbor, whoever that may be, God's telling you right in his word, don't tell me you love me. You don't love me if you're not loving your neighbor. That's pretty direct.
Yeah, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And you think, man, that's hard. To obey the Lord and this, all his commandments. But really, you do it because you love him, not because it's easy. And you don't forgive people because it's easy. You do it because you love God and he asks you to do it. And you know that if you forgive someone when they don't deserve it, you're showing them what Jesus is like. Because he forgave us when we're scum jobs, and he forgives us. And sees us as clean through Jesus. He says, you forgive other people. And then through that, they're going to be able to see what Jesus is really like. So if we're as Christians going around hating people, that doesn't make much sense. Because that's, we're going to be bad representatives of Jesus. That's, I think that's probably why he says that. Don't say you love me and go around hating people. Because you're basically living a lie. Because if you love me, you love people too. Because that's what I tell you to do.
Well said, well said, Dave. Yeah.
Jesus is pretty awesome when you think about how the Bible revolves around love. You really could draw people to God through love and helping them to realize that God really does love them no matter what they've done. And he wants people to serve him no matter how little they have. Well, I'm not that smart. I'm not a Bible expert. I don't have a lot of money. I'm not good at a lot of things. Well, God still wants you to serve him, and he loves you. He wants you to serve him sacrificially. Whatever you got, he'll take it and use it. So,
just like the widow's mite, right?
Wherever the listeners are at, yeah.
I mean, just like the widow. I mean, she didn't have much, but she gave it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
God didn't say, oh, gosh, look at this lady. She's barely got anything. Oh, I guess I'll save her. He says, wow, this lady really loves me and trusts me. And she gave more today than these other guys.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
So, awesome God.
Yeah.
Totally worth giving everything we got. Like, the widow knew that. So now it's our turn. We got one chance at this life on earth to go all in for Jesus. What are we going to hold back? You know?
Right.
I doubt when we die, we're going to say, man, I really wish I spent more days in my life being selfish and doing what I want, how I wanted to do it, instead of serving God and serving others. I don't think too many people say that when they die, but, you know, but they probably won't regret it if they go all in for Jesus and they live their life out and they're exhausted because they spend all their time and money and efforts loving God and loving other people, giving everything they have, and then they'll have a long time to recover in heaven. So I'd be worth it.
I remember one time this older pastor, that, you know, they asked him, how you doing? And he goes, you know what? I'm tired, you know, because he was probably in his mid-70s by then, and he said, I am really tired, and he says, but it's a good tired, he says, because, you know, I got tired serving the Lord, and he said, that's a good thing, you know, so.
Yeah, pastor said that, actually, men are kind of meant to be tired, because they're supposed to work and toil, and kind of part of the curse, but it's good for men to keep themselves busy and active, and serving God all the time, so they not sitting around wasting time acting like a chooch, finding bad stuff to get into. It's it's a blessing to us if we're not sitting around doing nothing. It's better if we're serving the Lord. Keep us out of trouble. Keep us focused on Him.
Yeah. And I think when you stay busy and all of a sudden you see all these opportunities coming up, you know, if you're sitting at home, you know, snoozing in your easy chair and watching some, you know, football game or something, you're not going to get anything done there. But I know once in a while you need to take it easy, but you know what I'm saying, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we wonder, hey, how come I'm not having as much of an impact on my life? I just have to look at myself and how I'm spending my time. I'm serving God with all of it. Or where can I serve Him more?
And I want to just say one more thing before we wrap it up, Dave. I'm always feeling blessed. You know, whenever I may not want to do some of the things that I do, whatever I serve, but after I push myself, you know, and I always ask the Lord for help to whatever I'm doing because I can't do it by myself. But when I'm done, when I'm on my way home or whatever, you know, after the fact, I'm always feeling like I'm the one that was blessed more than the person or the people that you helped. So
mm-hmm.
To me, it's, yeah. So you're giving, you're going to feel, I feel that when you give, you're blessed more than the person or the people you're blessing.
Yeah, so you're going, a lot of times on our way there, we're like, oh, here we go again. I'm exhausted. I'd rather just sleep in. But afterwards, it's like you realize one of the best things you've ever did.
Yeah.
And you never know how much of an impact you can make in people's life. Spend time at a senior center. Spend time at a youth prison. Spend time at a food pantry. You don't know whose life you're impacting. And so it's good for all of us to go out like the widow and give everything we got to the Lord, give up our money, give up our time, and make sure we do everything from a heart of love for God and for others. And then when we go to meet the Lord, we can hear, good job, you know, faithful servant.
Yeah,
that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, good talking to you. I'll let you wrap up the show, and I pray anybody out there will never underestimate how much God loves them and wants to use them to serve Him. And if they're willing to give their hearts and time and money to the Lord, they won't regret it. They'll see how much God loves them, and they'll see how much God can bless their lives.
Well said, Dave.
Have a good one, Dad, and see you later, Rick, and we'll talk to you guys later.
All right, my co-host, Dave, thank you again for calling in. You're always welcome.
All right, have a good night.
All right, good night, Dave. Love you.
Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're winding down on time. So I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll have our closing song. Dear Lord, thank you for all the blessings in our life. You give us so much. And I just pray, Lord, as we talked about the widow's mite and how she gave all she had, I pray, Lord, that you would give us a heart that's generous, willing to give our resources, our time, and our talents. And I just pray, Lord, that you heap blessings upon everyone, so that they can take those blessings and share them with others. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. God bless everybody. And now we're going to play the song, Softly and Tenderly.
and strong. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. Come home. Calling, oh.